Title: Rave Stab Space Control Masterclass Using Arrangement View Advanced. Alright, let's do an advanced mix move that instantly separates cool rave stab idea from release-ready drum and bass record. Rave stabs are meant to be big, nostalgic, and rude, but in modern rolling DNB, they can also be the number one reason your drums feel smaller, your bass loses definition, and the whole groove turns into a blur. So in this lesson, we're not just adding reverb, we're doing space control using arrangement view. That means we're going to automate space like part of the arrangement. Dry versus wet, narrow versus wide, bright versus dark, and most importantly, front versus back. The stab will feel huge in the intro, tight in the drop, and explosive in transitions, without stealing authority from the drums. Before we touch devices, quick mindset. Treat space as three lanes. Lane 1 is front and back, that's pre-delay and early reflections, basically how close the stab feels. Lane 2 is left and right, that's width, mid-slash-side decisions, and where the excitement lives. Lane 3 is up and down, meaning frequency. Wet signal that's too bright or too low will crowd the groove in different ways. If your stab feels messy, don't just say less reverb. Ask, which lane is out of control? Now set your project up in arrangement view. Tempo around 172 to 176. Drop in locators. Intro, build, drop 1, break, drop 2, outro. This is important because the whole point is we're going to automate by section and by phrase. If you don't label sections, you'll automate randomly and wonder why it feels unfocused. Group your main elements, drums, bass, music, FX. Put your stab in the music group, and if you're layering stabs, group those into a dedicated stab group. Gain staging targets, just to keep your head straight. Kick and snare together peaking roughly around minus 6 dBFS on the drum group before the master. Your stab group in the drop, more like minus 10 to minus 8 peak. The stab is not the main character. In DNB, the groove is the main character. Now, step 1. Build the stab source for punch first, space second. If you're using simpler, classic mode is fine. Set voices to 1. Mono playback. This is a big deal. A mono stab stays solid and readable when the track gets busy. Then shape the amp envelope so it's actually a stab, not a pad. Attack basically instant, like 0 to 5 milliseconds. Decay maybe 250 to 600 milliseconds. Sustain at 0. Release around 80 to 200 milliseconds. You want an obvious hit, and you want the tail to be optional, not baked in. If you want extra DNB bite, do a simple two-layer approach. One layer for warm body, one layer for edge. Then group them so you can treat them like one instrument. Step 2. Frequency zoning. This is where you stop the stab from owning the mix. Put a Q8 either on each layer or just on the stab group if your layers are already balanced. Start with a high pass. Typically 150 to 250 Hz. If your bass is massive, don't be scared to go higher, even up to 300. In rolling DNB, that low mid space is precious, and you can get the perception of size from harmonics and controlled ambience instead of actual low content. Then listen in context, looping the drop. If the stab is fighting bass harmonics, a dip around 170 to 220 can help. If the snare loses crack, try a small dip around 2 to 4 kHz on the stab. And if it's fizzy, especially once we add effects, a gentle shelf down around 8 to 12 kHz can calm it. And here is the teacher moment, do not carve while soloed. Loop drums and bass with the stab. A stab that sounds thin solo can be perfect in the drop. We care about the record, not the sample. Step 3. Make space with returns, not inserts. This is one of the biggest professional workflow upgrades in Ableton. If you slap a big reverb directly on the stab channel, you'll spend the rest of your day trying to undo the reverb with EQ and compression. Instead, we'll create two return tracks, one for reverb, one for delay. Then we automate sends in arrangement view like their performance controls. Return A is reverb. Put EQ 8 first. High pass the reverb return hard, like 250 to 400 Hz. Don't be polite. Reverb low end is mud in this genre. If the reverb is biting your snare, dip a bit around 2 to 3 kHz on the return. Notice what we're doing. We're shaping the wet signal, not the dry identity. Then add hybrid reverb. Algorithmic mode is clean, or blend if you want character. Decay somewhere like 1.2 to 2.4 seconds as a starting zone. We can go longer in the intro, shorter in the drop. Pre-delay is crucial, 15 to 35 milliseconds. Pre-delay is what lets the dry stab punch and still have a room behind it. And now's secret weapon. Compress the reverb return, sidechained from the snare or the drum bus. Ratio 2:1 to 4:1, attack around 3 to 10 milliseconds, release 80 to 180 milliseconds. You're aiming from maybe 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the snare hits. The vibe you want is, the room breathes out of the way of the snare, without the dry stab itself pumping like a meme sidechain. Return bead is delay. Add echo. Set time to an eighth note or a dotted quarter, because dotted movement is basically DNB sauce. Feedback 20 to 45%. Filter it. High pass around 300 Hz, low pass around 6 to 10 kHz. Modulation low unless you want deliberate warble. Then add utility and widen the delay, something like 120 to 160%. This is a really clean trick. Keep the dry stab more centered and stable, but let the delay live wider. Lastly, a limiter as a safety net. Feedback can spike, especially when we automate throws. Step 4. Build the stab bus space control chain. On your stab group, add utility first. Turn on bass mono around 120 to 200 Hz. That prevents low mids going wide and smearing the drums in mono. Next, saturator. Soft clip on. Drive maybe 1 to 4 dB. Compensate output. This is not about making it distorted. It's about density. If the stab is denser, you can run less reverb and still feel it as big. Then glue compressor, lightly. Attack 10 milliseconds. Release auto or 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2:1, and only 1 to 2 dB of reduction on peaks. If you're slamming it, you're flattening the rave character. Then EQ 8 in M/S mode. In the mid channel, keep 1 to 4 kHz under control, so it doesn't dominate snare and vocal presence. In the side channel, you can gently lift 4 to 8 kHz for width without just turning the stab up. This is the wide but not loud move. Now we hit the real masterclass, arrangement view automation. This is where the stab becomes a controlled actor that changes behavior per scene. First, the intro. We want big rave atmosphere, but filtered so it feels like it's coming from the fog. In the first 16 bars, raise the reverb send on the stab, something like -6 to -3 dB on send A. Add a bit of delay send 2, maybe -12 to -8. Then automate a low pass on the dry stab. Start closed, like 1.2 to 2.5 kHz, and gradually open it towards 6 to 10 kHz as you approach the build. Also, automate the reverb decay to be slightly longer in the intro, like 2.2 seconds, and shorten it toward the drop, maybe 1.4. Teacher tip. The goal is contrast, not perfection. A slightly too wet intro can be a good thing, because it makes the drop feel punchy without you changing level. Now drop 1. This is the money move. At the downbeat, hard reduce the reverb send. You can literally go from a usable intro value to something like -14, or even to -infinity if you want it bone dry. If you keep any reverb, keep it as a tiny room, not a wash. Also shorten the reverb tail for the drop. You can do that by reducing decay, increasing the amount of snare ducking on the reverb return, or both, and consider narrowing the stab slightly and drop 1, maybe 90 to 110% width from the stab group. In dense drum and bass, slightly narrower often hits harder because it reads as forward and confident. Next, phrase endings. This is where delay throws live. At the end of every 8 or 16 bars, automate the delay send up just for the last stab hit or two. For example, jump from off to around -6 dB for half a bar, then snap it back down. Then immediately after the throw, automate echo's filter to get out of the way. Low pass it down or increase the high pass, so the delay brightens for excitement, then disappears before the next snare pattern comes in. A pro-level cleanup trick here, if it's an audio stab, duplicate the clip on the throw moment and reduce the dry volume or fade the tail, so the delay carries the energy while the dry stab doesn't clutter the next bar. This is often cleaner than trying to sidechain everything harder. Now the break. This is where you go wide and deep, then reset. Increase reverb send and overall width again. Automate pre-delay slightly higher, like 20 up to 35 milliseconds, so even when the break is wet, the stab still feels like it has a front edge. And you can even automate saturator drive down a bit in the break, so the stab feels less aggressive and more in the room. Then as you build into drop 2, do the classic ramp, open the filter, increase sends, increase excitement and then snap dry on the downbeat again. That reset is what makes people react. Drop 2 is your contrast drop. Heavier, maybe wider, but still controlled. You can increase side brightness a touch in your M/S EQ. Bring delay throws more aggressively. Keep the reverb short, but consider emphasizing early reflections rather than long decay. Early reflections give big room cues without a tail that smears fast drums. Now, Let's make sure this stays drum safe. The cleanest ducking method is usually sidechaining the reverb return from the snare. That way the stab's identity remains stable, and only the space moves out of the way. If you need extra control, you can use multiband dynamics on the stab group, but be careful. Overdoing multiband can kill the rave vibe fast. Honestly, in a lot of cases, subtraction beats compression. High pass the wet, dip harshness in the wet, and automate the send. Here are common mistakes to avoid. Big reverb inserted directly on the stab channel, then fighting it forever. No pre-delay, which turns your stab into a pad. Reverb with low end, instant mud with rolling bass. Too wide in low mids, which destroys punch and mono compatibility. Keeping the same space for the whole track, which makes the ear tired and makes the drop feel small. And unfiltered delay throws that mask the next snare and kill momentum. Now a couple advanced coach moves. 1. Automate the returns like instruments, not just the send knobs. In arrangement view, show automation for the actual return devices. On reverb, automate pre-delay and early reflections level, so the stab stays forward while the room changes behind it. On delay, automate feedback and filter frequency so it brightens for the throw, then gets darker and disappears. 2. Do a masking audition. Temporarily solo the snare and the stab returns, not the dry stab. If you hear SHHH blooming over the snare transient, that's usually too much 2 to 5 kHz in the wet path, or too little pre-delay. Fix that before you reach for more ducking. 3. Mono check the wet path specifically. Put utility on each return and set width to 0 for a moment. If the vibe collapses completely, you're relying on facey stereo for size. A better approach is, keep the dry stab stable and centered, and create width with controlled side EQ and the delay return, not just gigantic width values. Optional advanced variation if you want to go even deeper, split band reverb. Build an audio effect rock on returner with 2 chains. A low chain that's high-passed higher than you think, like 400 to 800 Hz, with short decay. And a high chain with longer decay and brighter tone. Then automate chain volumes per section. It's one of the cleanest ways to get size without low mid fog. Now let's lock this in with a quick 20-minute practice. Pick a rave stab sample. Write a simple 2-bar riff that repeats through drop 1 for 32 bars. This audio version is shortened for playback.